We've been studying for some time on at Jesus' feet. And I just cannot move on from that place. And so one more time, let's go back to Jesus' feet. And let's read in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. And I ask you if you will please stand to your feet as we reverence the reading of God's word. The scripture says in verse 1, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold." Verse number 10. "The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Man, that verse 10, I just can't get away from it. How they cast their crowns before the throne. That would be at his feet as he's on that throne. I want to preach on this thought today, God being our helper. Look for me at Jesus' feet. Look for me at Jesus' feet. Father, would you help us today that we might preach and declare your word. God, that we might herald your word forward this morning. God, you'd empower us spiritually and physically, God, to do so. Lord, I cannot do it in my own strength, nor can I do it myself. But God, I can only do it by you. Please help us today, God. I pray that your people may get understanding, that souls might be saved, that people would get help today. For this I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Well, I want to say three things this morning and I'll be done quickly. Number one, when I look at this text, I see the sovereign on the throne. The Bible says in verse 1, "After this I looked." After what? After the church age. He's been writing to seven churches, which represents the church age, which we that are assembled today are a part of. There's coming a day after this that the trumpet is going to sound. So we see two things under the heading, the sovereign on the throne. We see a sovereign trumpet. John says that I looked and I was allowed to see there was a door that was open in heaven. So in other words, this starts with a V. He's had a vision. There's a door. You know, our Bible says that Jesus is the door. He said, I am the door, and the door is opened into heaven. Then he heard a V. He heard a voice speaking with him, sound of a trumpet. Glory to God. Hey, John has heard that voice before. There was a time he heard that voice say, follow me. And John was dead spiritually and began to follow the Lord as God gave him life. There was a time in an old graveyard that Jesus said, take away the stone. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot. Now John hears that trumpet say, come up hither. The dead in Christ will come up first, and those of us which are alive and remain, we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So you see, there is a vision, there is a voice, and there is a visit. He's immediately in the Spirit. This is what we call the church that's been raptured home. Preacher Darren, I don't believe in the rapture. The word rapture's not in the Bible. Well, the word Trinity's not in the Bible. Well, Preacher Darren, that's why I don't believe in the Trinity. Hey, come here, I want to tell you something. Did you know the word grandfather's not in the Bible? I'm pretty sure there are some. I is one today, amen. And if you're a grandpa, say amen. There is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And there is a rapture where the Lord literally takes home his children from this earth, amen. It's funny how God puts things together. I was reading in Isaiah 57, verse 1 this morning to the prayer room about how the Lord, no man's paying attention, but the Lord is going to remove the righteous before the evil comes, amen. In other words, he's going to take us home before the tribulation sets in. And I'm thankful this morning for the rapture and the plan of Almighty God. Well, Preacher Darren, I don't believe in the rapture. You still not convince me. Honey, I'm not here to convince you. I'm here to sow seed. I'm not here to convince you. I'm here to shine light. Hear me. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Amen. And he's going to call us home. We're going to be caught up with him, snatched away on our way to heaven. When John gets there, not only is there a sovereign trumpet, but there's a sovereign throne. Look in verse 2. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, he's in the Spirit, and he's standing there, and he sees that throne that is set. That means it's absolute authority. The word set tells us it is permanent. The word set tells us it is eternal. Listen, no petty struggle of a government on earth and its corruption will ever overcome the throne that is set in heaven. It is the sovereign throne of Almighty God. John says in verse 2 that one sat on this throne. Well, Preacher Darren, is it Mary? Preacher Darren, is it Joe Biden? Preacher Darren, is it Donald Trump? Preacher Darren, who is on the throne? Well, we read in verse number 9 that they're going to fall down before him that sat on the throne, and they're going to worship him. That tells me it is the Lord Jesus Christ that is sitting on the throne, and we are going to worship him for all of eternity. Are y'all okay? The Bible says, John seeing that throne is not empty, one is sitting on that throne. And the Bible says in verse 3 what he looks like. He says he was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. In other words, there's some clear clarity there, transparency, because he's pure. And he's a sardine stone, red in color, because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is righteous. So we see God Almighty, Jesus, his Son, is sitting on the throne, pure, righteous, permanent, eternally. Are y'all okay? Now, let's talk about it. The Bible says there was a rainbow round about the throne like unto an emerald. When you and I see a rainbow, we see half a circle. We see half a bow. That's what we see, right? You think about a bow and an arrow. If you had a bow and an arrow this morning, you have a bow. That bow is turned up. It was pointing towards heaven. God took out his own son, let him bleed and die that we might be saved. The arrow has already been shot. Now that emerald, that rainbow in emerald goes round about the throne. Never ending for eternity. Emeralds are green. Did you know the old world's wedding stone is an emerald? Today, if you want to get married, you give your love a diamond. But back in those days, you gave them an emerald. This is saying, welcome home, my children. There's going to be a wedding taking place very soon between Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the groom, and the church. which is the bride of Christ. Oh, what a day that's going to be. So we see the sovereign upon the throne. Number two this morning, we see the saints around the throne. I want to say a couple things about these saints. Notice with me their character. The Bible says there are 24 seats and the elders sit on those seats. Now, I could spend an hour right here preaching about what those 24 represent, but I've got to move quickly and I'm going to give it to you in about 30 seconds. Those elders represent the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints. These are the children of God that are surrounding the throne of Almighty God. And notice with me, I underlined it in my Bible, maybe you should. What are they doing? They are sitting. Underline it. What does that mean? They are at rest. They're not in a storm. They're not in a struggle. They are at rest around the throne of Almighty God. Look at their clothing. What are they wearing? Well, today I'm wearing a gray suit and some type of a necktie and a blue shirt. What are they wearing? The Bible says they are clothed in white raiment, symbolizing the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The Bible says we all are as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. All we have, you may have a suit on this morning or a nice dress, ready, prepared to come to church. But if you look at you spiritually, our righteousness is as filthy rags. But thanks be to God, Jesus died in our place, shed his blood that our sins might be washed away and that we might be forgiven. And he's clothed us, help me here, he's clothed us with garments of salvation. White, which is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We've talked about their character. We've talked about their clothing. Let's look at their crown. The Bible says they had on their heads crowns of gold. These are the rewards for Christian service, for believers' service. Where did they get those crowns? After the rapture, every saint of God, every child of God, every born-again believer, you will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You will receive reward for the good that you've done with the life he's given you, or you will suffer loss of reward if you've not done correctly. Sins of omission and commission. There will be some there that day that receive great reward. There will be some that day that stand there and suffer loss of reward. I do not, hear me, I do not want to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and hang my head in shame that I did nothing with the life, the eternal life he gave me. Well, preacher, Darren, eternal life's not started yet. Come here, I'll tell you something. Oh, yes, it has. You have been born again. When you are born, you begin to live. When you're born again, you begin to live for Jesus. Your soul is never going to die. You're going to live for eternity. What are you doing with the eternal life Jesus Christ gave you? Preacher, I don't believe we'll appear before the judgment seat. That's just your wild, fancy idea. Come here, I want to tell you something else. In your Bible, which I believe is the Word of God, infallible and inspired, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, the Bible says we, speaking about those that are saved, Paul was saved, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Revelations 22,
You're here close. Let's look at it. Revelations 22 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Revelation 22, 12. The reward of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I need about an hour to preach this, but there'll be five types of crowns that are given out that day. There is the crown of life. It is a crown of endurance for trials and temptations to the faithful. James 1:12. There is the crown of glory. It is a crown for service rewarded to those that are faithful to preach and declare the word of God, testifying and sharing. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. There is thirdly a crown of righteousness. It is those who had loved and longed for and anticipate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. There is fourthly the crown of rejoicing. It is a soul winner's crown. Preacher Darren, you don't win souls. Come here, I want to tell you something. Your Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. Amen. You have a testimony that you could share with somebody that can make an eternal difference in their life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 through 20. Fifthly, there is an incorruptible crown. It is the victor's crown for overcoming, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. One by one by one, we will come before the judgment seat of Christ to receive rewards or to suffer loss of rewards. Thirdly, and I'm done, there is the scene before the throne. You got your Bible, look in verse 6. The Bible says, before the throne, there's a sea of glass. It's not like a sea that's got waves and it's tossed about. There's no more storms, amen. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts, full of eyes before and behind. And the next verses tell you what they look like. They represent the four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew presents Jesus as King, the Lion. Mark presents Jesus as the suffering servant, the calf. Luke presents Jesus as the Son of Man, perfect, amen, humanity. Fourthly, that flying eagle, John always presents Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. And these four beasts, full of eyes before and behind, they're flying around the throne. They are not ceasing. And they're crying out the entire time. The Bible tells us what they're saying. They're crying out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." They're ascribing glory and honor and thanks to the one that sits upon the throne, the majesty of Almighty God. Do you see the wisdom that's in heaven? Look with me at the worship which is in heaven. Verse 9 says, when these beasts are flying around, crying out, when they give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat upon the throne and lives forever and ever, the 24 elders, those that have been sitting on their seat around the throne, they get involved. The Bible says, oh, here we go. They fall down before him that sat on the throne, and they worship him that liveth forever and ever and ever. As those four beasts are praising and exalting the Lord, the Old Testament and New Testament saints of God chime right in and begin to worship. Worship floods and fills their heart. It is an overflowing heart. If worship makes you uncomfortable now, you better make sure you're really going. Because when we get there, we're not really going to care about the cabin or the mansion or the street of gold. We're going to care about the one that's sitting on the throne, the one who gave his life that we might be saved and be with him in glory. and they worship him. Listen, last Sunday morning, we had such a worship service here at Bethel that when I got home, I was flat out exhausted. Preaching in it's cause you preach. Listen, I preached for 29 years just as hard as I could, twice and sometimes three times, each and every Sunday. But last Sunday was different. Well, preaching in it's because it's the oldest you've ever been. You're right about that. But I'm telling you, not every time do we come to church do we really worship. And if you really worship, it'll wear your body, slap out. Your flesh can't stand it, amen. And I'm telling you, last Sunday, we had a time. In fact, I'm feeling right good today, amen. I'm here to worship him. That's my intention today. And the Bible says it's a scene. Listen, when we walk through the pearly gates and we get a glimpse of his glory, we're going to start worshiping him. And in 10 years, we're still going to worship. And in 100 years, we're still going to worship. And in 1,000 years, we're still going to worship. And in 1,000,000 years, and while the ages roll on, we're going to worship him forever. Well, preacher, I don't know if I can enjoy them worship services. Then you must not be going where I'm going. You're going to go somewhere else where you think it's fun. You're going to find out it's not all you thought it was. It ain't no party. You're going to be burning in flames and torment day and night forever and ever. Thank God for the worship service that's taking place. We will never tire. We will never cease. All we think about is Jesus. All we talk about is Jesus. All we sing about is Jesus. We will worship Jesus with a filled and overflowing heart. In fact, not only, and I couldn't leave it there, not only is our hearts filled and overflowing, but our hearts are also overwhelmed. They're so overwhelmed, they took their crowns off their heads and they cast them or laid them at the base of that throne where Jesus' feet are occupying. I started thinking about that. Those crowns were given to those people. We that are saved, receiving crowns and rewards for your labor, for your sacrifice, for your effort, for your hard work. And those who have faithfully lived for Jesus and have served him, the rewards they receive at the judgment seat of Christ, they're so overwhelmed, they're going to take their crown off and lay them at Jesus' feet. This is done as an expression of gratitude, as an expression of thanks, as an expression of worship. They're acknowledging that where they are, what they are, and all that's been accomplished is by his grace. We owe it all to him. They're not concerned about their own glory, but they are consumed in his glory. Can you just imagine? Let's just go there for a minute. Will you go with me? Let's just take a trip to heaven. How long will it take us? Just quicker than a heartbeat. Quicker than you could twinkle your eye. We're going to be there. Can you imagine the saints from all ages as they come to approach the throne and lay their crowns at Jesus' feet? I see Abraham, that great patriarch of the faith. He's standing there. And he falls on his face, and he takes his crown off. Woo! This is the one he paid tithes to many, many years ago. That high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, he lays down his crown and says, "Glory and honor, thou art worthy." Here comes Isaac, the son that was gifted to him, takes his crown off, lays it at Jesus' feet. Here comes Jacob, and here comes Joseph laying their crowns at Jesus' feet. Well, look, here comes Moses in all his glory. How he walked with God, a friend with God. He bows on his knees just like everybody else and takes his crown off and lays it down at Jesus' feet and says, "Thou art worthy." Here comes King David. Not a greater king than any other than King David. And King David comes round and takes his crown off and sets it down at Jesus' feet. Look, here come the prophets. Here comes Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. One by one they come and lay down their crowns at Jesus' feet. And they give him glory and honor and praise and say that he and he alone is worthy. Look with me, every preacher, think about Spurgeon and Moody, J. Harold Smith, Percy Ray, my daddy. They're going to walk their way and stand before the bow before the throne and take their crown off and say, he is worthy. Honey, I'm going to have the opportunity to do the same thing myself, amen. Thanks be unto God. I'm going to bow and take my little old crown off and lay it at Jesus' feet. And while the ages roll on, I'm going to say, he's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah to God. You may say, Preacher Darren, you're getting all emotional. Honey, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till I get there, amen. You talk about getting excited. I'm going to worship him forever and ever and ever. Oh, my, a constant stream. For all eternity, they're worshiping him. Now look at this scene for a minute. Think carefully. Look hard. Do you see yourself in this heavenly scene? Are you casting your crown or crowns at Jesus' feet? If you received a crown, you'll be there. You may say, oh no, I'm going to hoard mine. I'm going to hide it. I'm going to put it in my mansion underneath the blanket over there on beside the wall. I'm going to hide. Oh no, honey, you won't. You're not going to hide or harbor anything. It's going to be your privilege and your pleasure to lay down what you have at his feet, because you're going to realize without him, I wouldn't even be here. Without him, I wouldn't even be saved. Without him, I would have nothing. I'd be a man most miserable. You're going to give him everything, amen. And at the end of the day, you don't need it anyway. It's all for his glory, amen. If you received a crown, you'll see yourself there. But if you didn't receive a crown, let's imagine that you suffered loss of reward. You give and give for years, and you said, I wish I had it all back. I don't like that church anymore. Don't like that preacher. I wish I had it all back. Congratulations. You just got it all back. And now you've lost your reward. You see, your reward is beyond what your millions are doing. Your reward is beyond what your $5 will do, honey. Let me tell you something. Luke, will you hear me for a second? Son, if everybody was receiving rewards, am I standing there in that line? And he says, you've been unfaithful. You're saved. You're still in heaven. But you've been unfaithful. And you don't have any crowns. When Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, when J. Harold Smith and Percy Ray and Roy Waldrop have a time to bow, and I won't have anything to lay at his feet, I'll be there, but I'll just have to stand back and watch. And I wish, what did I do? Oh, why didn't I thank him? Why didn't I praise him? Why didn't I testify more? Why didn't I really live for him like I should have? I'm going to tell you something. It is my heart's desire with every fiber of my being. I don't want to be standing there in shame. Preacher, you'll be in heaven ashamed. Why do you think you'd have to wipe away all their tears? Why's there tears in heaven? Why's there tears? Oh, there are tears of rejoicing. Oh, no, no, no. He's wiping away tears because some have suffered loss of reward. He's going to wipe away tears because as they stand one day, the great white throne, lost loved ones is going to stand at the great white throne, and he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. And they're going to say, but wait, Preacher Darren, I went to Bethel. I shook your hand and hugged your neck at the back door. Tell him you know me. Tell him I'm a good person. Tell him that on March, whatever the day is, I was at church with you and I said it was good sermon. Tell him. Jesus said, depart from me. I never knew you. While you was on earth, you would not confess me before men, and now I'll not confess you before my Father. Don't you think that standing behind Jesus as your soul is sentenced off to a devil's hell, ready to be thrown into the lake of fire, that I'm going to be weeping and crying because I've got family members that are not going. I've got friends that are not going. Not yet, amen. Honey, that burns my soul. So you take a hard look. Are you in that scene? I mean, can you imagine the shame and the embarrassment that's going to grip your heart? Look with me in verse 11. While the ages roll on, those in heaven are going to say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. We're going to be praising Him for all of eternity. Do you see yourself in that scene? If so, will you be casting crowns at His feet, or will you be suffering loss of reward because you said, I'm not giving it to Jesus. I'm not giving my testimony. I'm not giving my $5. I'm not going to give my voice to sing in that choir. I'm not going to go to that Sunday school class. I'm not, but I'm saved. I don't want to go to that church because so-and-so goes there. As a Christian, as a child of God, you need to love what Jesus loves. Jesus loves the saints of God, all of them. Jesus loves sinners too. You stand to your feet. Maybe there's somebody today. Will you hear me for a second? When a nation goes to war, they pull their ambassadors in that country out that they're fighting with. One of these days, God's going to declare war upon this earth, and He's taking all His children out first. If you're here today and you're saved, you ought to get on your face. I'm honest. It literally, I got on my face under my desk when I thought about the possibility of me losing reward, not losing salvation, but not having anything to lay at Jesus' feet. Listen to me. This morning, I went to somebody and said, do we have any beautiful crowns that I might use as a symbol? And they said, we really don't have any, Preacher Darren. I didn't have any crown this morning to lay at His feet. I'm asking you, do you have crowns that you're going to be given one day that you'll be able to lay at His feet? If not, ask for forgiveness now and start serving Him faithfully. Say, Lord, open Your word to me. God, I want to live for You, that I'm going to have something to lay at Your feet. Honey, maybe you're here and you're not even saved. I don't know your heart. You're not even going to heaven. Boy, you're watching online. You need to be saved. Why don't you take the time right? If you're standing, if you're at home right now, why don't you take the time to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I want to go to heaven. Forgive me my sins. I believe Jesus died. I believe He rose again. Wash me in His blood. Forgive me my sins. Save my soul. He'll save you just like that. Father, this morning, I thank You for the word of God, for the truths and the promises therein. And Father, I pray this morning, God, that we'd be able to look for one another at Jesus' feet, that we're going to bow and cast our crowns at His feet, and we're going to worship at His feet while the ages roll on forever and ever and ever. Kingdom without end. God, I pray You'd save sinners. I pray You'd restore the backsliders. God, I pray today that You'd put us in a right fellowship with one another and a right fellowship with You. God, this morning, on my knee right now, Lord, I lay myself at Jesus' feet. Right now, God. Oh, God, I thank You for saving a wretch like me. Oh, and thank You for the promise of heaven. Not just seeing my loved ones again in streets of gold and mansions, but to thank and worship the One who gave His life for me. I kiss His feet right now. I bow before His feet right now. I worship You. Thou art worthy. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.